Dasa Nasa.
Country all over the world, this is the generation that Paul was talking about. Do you get what I'm saying? That men will find teachers to tell them, listen to me, just as you are, you're okay. In fact, once you are saved forever. There's nothing you can do that will make you go to hell after you're born again. Are you following what I'm saying? Some people will commit sin, smoke, drink, and say it is their spirit that is doing it. It is not touching their body. There will be preachers that will tell them that. When those days now. So the original caution and fear of iniquity that the church had is disappearing very fast. Born of the Spirit. And then baptized of the Spirit. When the Holy Ghost comes. That's what we see in Acts chapter 2 here. They are filled with the Spirit. Filled. Or full of the Spirit. Okay? You can use the word full of the Spirit. Because those words confuse people when they read in the New Bible. You can be born of the Spirit without being full of the Spirit. Now don't worry about the grammar. I'm doing Bible teaching now. Okay? Full of the Spirit. You can be born of the Spirit without being full of the Spirit. Is that okay? Now if you are born of the Spirit without being full of the Spirit, you are born into the Spirit. Now you can actually have spiritual experiences, but you are not totally saved to engage in spiritual transactions. Is that okay? Okay. Now, baptized of the Spirit is another experience, different from born of the Spirit. There are churches that teach their members that once you are born again, you are baptized in the Holy Ghost at the same time. There's no scripture that supports that teaching. I hope you follow what I'm saying. Okay. So you find people come, I've had people come to church that have that position. All right, and they enjoy good teaching, and instead of going after the Bible experience, he stays with his church position and convince himself and baptized with the Holy Spirit. But do you speak in tongues? Everywhere in the Acts of the Apostles that they receive a baptism in the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. Okay, so if you are not baptized in the Spirit, you can't speak in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, you are not yet baptized with the Spirit, you may be born of the Spirit. You can have a born-again spirit without the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You can be led by your born-again spirit without having the gift of prophecy. Do you get that? And that, those are some of the things I want to explain to you, because sometimes you find people that have the gifts of the Spirit baptized in the Holy Ghost, but is not mature in his own spirit as a person. He does some foolish things. People see him misbehave and say, but they say they are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is not synonymous to maturity in Christianity. It is just a provision that God has given you to experience the supernatural. There are three levels of maturity that a human being can have on the earth. Are you following what I'm saying? One is physical maturity. Physical maturity takes place over time. There's no way you can jump from being a 7-day-old baby to a 70-year-old baby. You will live 70 years times 7 times 365 days. Every day you grow. Are you following what I'm saying? If a little boy is this height and he wonders that he's not as tall as his daddy, just tell him, be patient. Over time, you will grow. Do you get what I'm saying? Then there is mental maturity. Mental maturity takes place through learning. All right? So you can have people that are mentally mature, different from each other. I hope you follow what I'm saying. Mental maturity takes place through learning. We expose ourselves to different learnings and all that. There is emotional maturity, it's still part of the mental maturity. Emotional maturity takes place as you go through certain things in life. There are some people that have not gone through certain experiences in life, so they are not mature. Okay? There are people that have gone through certain things and it matures them suddenly. Maybe he's 18, but he has gone through sorrow and tragedy. It has matured him prematurely. Do you get what I'm saying? So, emotional maturity and mental maturity goes through that. But then spiritual maturity takes place through obedience to the word of God. Spiritual maturity does not take place by cramming the Bible. Spiritual maturity does not take place by being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Do you get what I'm saying? The spiritual maturity does not take place through operation in the spiritual realm. Spiritual maturity can guide and guard your operations in the spiritual realm. But spiritual maturity is not a function of operations in the spirit realm. Do you get that? Spiritual maturity is a function of obedience to the word of God. Bible says Jesus became mature through the things that he learned by obedience. Okay? Are you following what I'm saying? So if you are not going to be obedient to God, you are not going to grow spiritually. Did you get that now? If you, over time, if you eat well, you do this, you grow. If you are not eating well, you will still grow, but you will not grow physically. I don't know if what I'm saying. Sometimes you see some people, they say this boy is 18 and he's like a 6'7" giant. And say, how can he be that big? And then you see somebody, they say this person is 48 and he's still a dwarf. Because he's not eating well. Do you get that? Over time, you grow. Mental maturity through learning. You can be widely trained in different things so your mind is exposed and whatever. But your spirit grows maturely as you obey the word of God. Not just as you read the Bible, as you obey it and put it to practice. Do you follow what I'm saying? So, I talked about three relationships with the Holy Spirit. Born of the Spirit, baptized of the Spirit. The third one is controlled of the Spirit. That is what the Bible says, in filled with the Spirit. Okay? Filled with the Spirit. So in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 that we read, and they were filled with the Spirit, two things happened there. They were baptized and filled. Do you get that? Filled is better translated controlled, taken over by the Spirit. Do you get that? Full of the Spirit is when the Holy Ghost comes in fully in baptism. That's when you speak in tongues and you have a prayer language. Write it down, don't forget that. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost comes in full measure. You had, like it were, a partial measure at the new birth, that your spirit is recreated. Your spirit has the nature of God when you are born again. But now, when the Holy Ghost comes in to dwell in you fully, that is when you become supernatural. When you get born again, are you following what I'm saying? Whether you are born again or not born again, everybody is a spirit. When you are not born again, you are a rebellious spirit. A spirit that has the nature of disobedience. Ephesians 2 says, all of us before we got born again, we had the nature of the devil in us. We are sons of disobedience. Okay, but now you are born again. You have the nature of God. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. But when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, that's when you can be supernatural. Supernatural does not mean you are mature. It simply means you have power. You have access to the things that the Holy Ghost can bring. Do you get that? So sometimes when you see people that are manifesting the gifts of the Spirit, but they are behaving wrongly, you don't use that to judge Christianity. Did you get that? Praise God. So those three positions with the Holy Spirit, don't forget them. Born of the Spirit, baptized of the Spirit, control of the Spirit. Control of the Spirit is something that you do in partnership with the Holy Spirit. The more you yield control to the Holy Spirit, the more He uses you, the more He takes you over. The easier it is for you and the safer it is for you to move in the Spirit now. But you cannot yield control to Him if you don't have Him fully in you. Did you get that? So what's the difference between a person that is born again, not mature, but full of the Holy Ghost, And a person that is born again, mature, but not baptized in the Holy Ghost. What's the difference? The person that is born again, not mature, but full of the Holy Ghost, will have power, signs and wonders. The person that is born again, mature, but not full of the Holy Spirit, will be a very nice person to have around you, but very powerless when you're in trouble. Did you get that? Huh? That was what the church used to be like many years ago. Do you get, when they are looking for somebody to tell the truth, somebody to handle the money, that won't steal it, that won't do anything, they always look for a Christian. When they have an organization, they don't vote for the finance secretary, they just look for the SU. And they give it to the brother that is the SU. They know you can trust him. But when they are talking of some serious problem, look, let's find a way of that brother. He's a nice brother, but he's irrelevant to this situation. Because he didn't have power. Do you get what I'm saying? But you see, all of it is what makes God. God is a God that has power and wisdom and holiness. Are you following what I'm saying? So, if you are his child, all the three must manifest in your life. But now, as we are moving from one level of revelation to another level of revelation, the nature of man is to disconnect from one and take the next one. But God is a God of continuity. God doesn't drop one and add a new one. Do you get that? He started with holiness and consecration, and then brought faith and power and all that. But then when faith and power came, people dropped holiness and consecration. So faith and power came, and people embraced faith and power. And now the mockery and the embarrassment of people with faith and power but no holiness is now causing people to say, we don't want faith and power. Let's go back to holiness and consecration without this power. Now, if we get holiness and consecration without the power, the devil likes that because he can always undo that. Are you following what I'm saying? Amen. So which one will we prefer? God wants us to have all together. Is that clear? So that's why we're going through this teaching. Do you get that? And you can balance the two correctly. You can have holiness, consecration, faith, and power, and wisdom. Is that okay? Wisdom to handle your life together. That's how God wants us to deal with this subject. So, which verse are we reading now? Acts chapter 2. I said we should open to that. We're reading what Peter said. All right, verse 5. So remember now, when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, do you get that? Two things are possible. One is guaranteed. The other is not guaranteed when it comes to speaking in tongues. Is that clear? One is a prayer language. It's guaranteed. God will give you your prayer language when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. That is what they were doing. They are speaking in tongues. Okay? The second one is a possibility, but not a guaranteed possibility. That the Holy Ghost will also manifest a gift of speaking in tongues, like we read last Wednesday. Do you understand that? So the gift of speaking in tongues is different from the prayer language that the Bible referred to, and they began to speak with other tongues. Is that clear? Very, very different. So separate that in your understanding. It is lack of separation that confused people, even those that received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then some people say, well, my own gift is not speaking in tongues. Do you get that? What happened in these Acts of the Apostles is they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. The prayer language came. But then at the same time, they had a gift of speaking in tongues given them. Did you get that? Now, how do I know that? Let's follow this and let scripture explain scripture. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. People had them speaking in tongues, and it was noised abroad. Why would they noise it abroad? Because it was something strange. It was something spectacular. It was something wondrous, as it were. It wasn't something normal. If it was normal, they wouldn't noise it abroad. Are you following? I'm saying, notice that this was not the first day they gathered. They had been gathering in that same upper room and praying like that for close to 50 days or whatever. Are you following what I'm saying? And then suddenly the Holy Ghost came. And then this event happened and people noised about. And when they noised about, the Bible said the multitude came together and were confounded. Why were they confounded? Because, listen to that, that every man had them speak in his own language. Now notice in verse 5, they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. How many nations were on the earth at that time? Now the Bible says everyone had them speak in his own language. Verse 7, look at this now. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Now they know these were Galileans, and they know the Galilean dialect and the Galilean language. And now, how hear we, every man, in our own tongue, wherein we were born? And now I began to name the countries and the nations. Now, Parthians, Medes, Elamites. Elam is Iran, the former Persian Elamites, and the dwellers of in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, in Pontus, and Asia. Asia is all the country towards the east. India, China, whatever, wherever you can think of. Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt. Okay? And the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, that is Italians, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Now, compare that experience to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. Look at this now. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gift. Did he say you should hate it? Huh? Say you should desire. But rather that ye may prophesy. Look at verse 2 now. Comparing prophecy and speaking in tongues. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh what? Read the next line. Huh? Speaketh. I can't hear you. But to who? For what? How be it? Now, this verse 2, is it the same as Acts chapter 2 experience? Huh? Talk to me now. Could he be talking of the same speaking in tongues? Huh? Could he be talking of the same speaking in tongues? Good. So this Acts, this 1 Corinthians 14, 2 is talking of your prayer language. No man understandeth it. And nobody is supposed to understand it. No man includes your own mind. No man understandeth it. How be it in the spirit? He speaketh what? Mysteries. That is your speaking in tongues now. When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. But then there is another gift. A gift of diverse kinds of tongues. That we read last Wednesday in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As part of the vocal gift, this gift of diverse kinds of tongues is the supernatural ability brought by the Holy Ghost to a man to speak languages that he did not previously know supernaturally. Somebody will hear that. That is what is happening in Acts chapter 2 here. Are you following what I'm saying? To the people that were Galilean speaking, they were just speaking in tongues. But to the people that were hearing them, they were hearing them in their different languages, declaring the wonderful works of God. It was accomplishing the purpose of giving them a sign that something divine is taking place here. And the people say, why is it that we are hearing them in our mother tongue? Not just ordinary Classical language, you know, for example, there is Yoruba commonly, and then there is the dialectical Yoruba language. If you are from Ijebu, there is Ijebu dialect, there is Ekiti dialect, there is Ondo dialect. Are you feel what I'm saying? There is Ibadan dialect. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is Ondo dialect. But then there is a general Yoruba that all of us speaks. But now they were not speaking the general language of the different races. They were speaking the mother tongue itself. Can you imagine a white person come here from Russia and receive baptism in the Holy Spirit and begin to praise God in Ondo dialect? An Ondo person here, we know that something divine is taking place. That was a gift of diverse kind of tongues. Do you get that? Not the normal prayer language. Is that okay? Because every other time, that's not what happened. Every time they were praying, people didn't gather like that. This was the first time that the Holy Ghost came down. God was giving a witness that something divine is happening on the earth. Do you get that? So because you meet some people that say, well, I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost, but I don't speak in tongues. Bro, you are not yet baptized biblically. You may have been confused and wrongly taught by your denomination or whatever, but go to the Bible and find out what the Bible says. Anywhere that people got baptized in the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues. So until you speak in tongues, you have not yet had a full biblical baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now find out how to get that. That is what is important. Do you get what I'm saying? Because lots of times when something happens, we always like to reach a conclusion that's accepted to our mind. Are you following what I'm saying? If somebody didn't get their healing, we have two questions. Is it that God failed or the faith of the person failed? We have to answer that question. The first thing is that did God promise to heal? If God says so, did God lie? If God doesn't lie, then that means God didn't fail. Then the faith of the person failed. Why did he fail? Why didn't he receive? So we begin to solve the problem. Are you following what I'm saying? You must always understand that God has given us a book. He's not going to change from what he has written in the Bible. This is the will of God. This is the mind of God. This is the counsel of God. You are to bring your experience totally with the Bible. Your experience is not to interpret the Bible. The Bible is to interpret your experience for you, whether it is correct or wrong. Did you get that? Say amen to that if you got it. You don't interpret the Bible based on your experience. Say, well, I didn't get answer to prayer, so God doesn't answer prayers. That is destroying Christianity. You are using your experience to interpret the Bible. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. So if you didn't receive, something must be wrong with me, because God does not lie. The Bible said, God said, ask and you shall receive. So I will find out why I didn't receive, so I can receive. But if I conclude that God didn't answer me, he maybe doesn't want to answer me, maybe this and all that, I'll be cheating myself. Did you get that? So take your position from the Bible and bring all your experience to the Bible. The one that doesn't tally with the Bible, begin to ask God to show you where your experience is missing the Bible. I hope you got that. Wave your hand if you are with me. So we see this one now, that these people had this experience. It was a baptism in the Holy Spirit they had. They spoke in tongues, and then they had the gifts of the Spirit also. Amen. Let's read further, because we are still going to where Peter spoke now. Verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt. Now, faith doesn't come by seeing miracles. Did you get that? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith doesn't come by listening to testimonies. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Did you get that? You have no basis to go to God and say, God, you have to give baptism in the Holy Spirit because you gave that person. That's not a ground to pray. God, you have to give me a baby because you gave that person. That is no ground to pray. The only ground you have to take to God is that, God, you said in your word, none shall be barren in the land. Not because so and so, not because that. Do you get what I'm saying? Praise God. Alright, so now these people are confused. They were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking. In the same place now. Some were questioned and said, what can this mean? Just like Mary was rolling the questions in her mind when the angel came, hail, thou that are highly favored, and all that. She didn't throw it away. She was just wondering and checking and all that, things like that. Okay? These ones are close to the answer. What meaneth this? I wrote a book on baptism in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and titled What Meaneth This? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Can you imagine that? So if you see a miracle, some people will mock. So if you see people mock, you don't need to cut off their head. They did in the Bible. I even say, hey, you're on it, and things like that. I pour out my spirit and out of my spirit. Do you know those are two very significant differences? Well, let me just, I'll mention brief in passing because that's not my focus in teaching today. Now, Paul, Joel said, it shall come to pass afterward, after what he had been speaking from Joel chapter 2, okay, that I'll pour out my spirit. So now, take it, now let us say God, the Father is here, taking a bucket, let us say the spirit is in that bucket. I'll pour out my spirit. Upon what? Upon all flesh. All right?
The nations are waiting, they are crying,
expecting you to come.
The nations, they are waiting, they are crying,
expecting you to come.
Belgium is waiting, they are crying,
expecting you to come.
Croatia is waiting, they are crying,
expecting you to come.
Romania, they are waiting, they are crying,
expecting you to come.
Algeria is waiting, they are crying,
expecting you to come.
Botswana, waiting, they are crying,
expecting you to come.
Gabon, waiting, they are crying,
expecting you to come.
Don't disappoint, don't tarry, go for them in power. Don't disappoint, don't tarry, go for them in power.
Got an
got an eye.